The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. As we head into hour two this Thursday, January 16th, 2020. It's funny, you know. Do you think it's slow news or a lot of news right now? Is it a slow news cycle right now or a high news cycle? You've got an impeachment of the president going forward in the Senate, and at least half of the political conversation given by the political networks is on that. But the other half is about this stupid three-day, four-day spat between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. I guess she went up to Bernie, and Corey reported it well at the top of the hour. I guess she went up to Bernie after the debate and refused to shake his hand and said, "You called me a liar on TV." He didn't. He didn't call her a liar. He said he didn't. He was asked whether he said what she alleged he said, and he said no. He has a right to defend himself. And over at Powerline, Paul Mierenkopf writes, "Is Warren now the new Hillary Clinton for Bernie Bros?" The Washington Post reports an angry split among liberal Democrats broke into the open Wednesday as two prominent presidential candidates exchanged accusations of dishonesty, raising fears among party leaders of a repeat of the internecine bitterness that many Democrats say contributed to President Trump's victory in 2016. That's the Washington Post. The fears are not without a basis. Yesterday, some irate supporters of Sanders circulated a Never Warren hashtag. Warren is a snake also began trending. Warren deserves this treatment. Contrary to her angry post-debate statement to Sanders that he called her a liar on national television, Sanders' denial that he ever said a woman can't be Donald Trump is just as consistent with the notion that Warren simply misunderstood his comment on the subject. Warren was not justified in going nuclear. In any case, Warren should not have berated Sanders and refused to shake his hand while the cameras were still rolling and CNN was still picking up sound. Sanders was spot on when he advised her, "Let's not do this right now." The poor judgment Warren displayed by going nuclear over a comment with an innocent explanation and with the cameras still rolling is yet another reason to expect the worst from a Warren presidency. But will the Warren-Sanders feud really produce lasting internecine bitterness that would harm one or the other in a run against President Trump? You might well think that a personal rift between the two friends could be overcome in the name of advancing the left liberal agenda. But there are two stumbling blocks to such a scenario. First, Sanders has something of a cult of personality thing going on with a portion of his supporters. The Bernie bros don't tolerate criticism of their man. To the contrary, they harass critics to the point that Sanders once saw fit to apologize for some of their rhetoric. It's plausible to believe that to these supporters, Warren's personal rift with Sanders disqualifies her from obtaining their support. Second, the leftist agendas of Sanders and Warren are rather different. Sanders is a hardcore socialist with communist sympathies. Warren straddles the line between socialism and non-socialist leftism. It's not clear exactly where her sympathies truly lie, but it's clear that they fall short of Sanders on the leftist spectrum, only a little short. Far left is known for extreme sectarianism. Even small differences have produced world-class feuds, and the differences between Sanders and Warren may not be so small. I think they are pretty small. I also think Warren doesn't have a chance anymore. I think she's just blown it. And I don't think she looks good in this fight either. You don't really put out a private conversation between two friends. And it's not really that plausible that he said what she says. The likelihood is that she's the one telling a falsehood, not him. And even if he said what she says he says, that a woman couldn't be elected president, heck, even Hillary Clinton was saying that up until 2015-16. Just not a big deal. And she's trying to go nuclear on this. It looks rather desperate on her part. She knows she's failing. her her failure, it all comes from the way she handled Medicare for All, which was an unforced error. She had been asked the same question again and again and again and again and again for months about how she was going to fund it, and kept hedging on it, kept trimming on it, kept evading the question of whether costs would go up or taxes would have to be hiked on the middle class. And then she finally put out her financials on it, you know, her economic estimates on it. And they didn't hold any water whatever. None whatsoever. She did this to herself. And she started her campaign as she started her career on a lie. You just can't campaign against Donald Trump if you're going to call him inauthentic or a liar when you yourself are inauthentic and a liar. I'm Seth. Our phone number is 602-508-0960. Mary's in Cave Creek. Hello, Mary.
Hey, Seth. I always enjoy your show. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I just had a quick comment.
Sure.
And I just wanted to say, if being in a cult means you have an open mind and the ability to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, then I'm all in.
Talk to me about that for a second. So, so there's an LA Times op-ed writer says we're all in a cult because we support Donald Trump. It can't be because we like the policies, right? It can't be anything like that. She says we've given up our libertarian and family values beliefs to support him. I don't know how that's possibly true. But in any event, she says we're all in a cult. And your perspective is what? You have an open mind?
Well, I just think it's their rhetoric. And we fall into that mistake all the time of using their argument to you know, to denounce it or to whatever, instead of saying that you saying the way that I support him is cultish, that's the way you see it because you want to demean the way I treat him. But I listen to everything he says, and he's a person who has done what he was said he would do. You know, he's following the tenets that I follow, and I think that's the problem. You know, we fall into that. They go, oh, it's a cult, which is a derogatory term, and they put that on it instead of even asking somebody, why do you follow him? I mean, nobody has ever come up to me and said, why do you follow Trump? Actually,
right.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
And they were a friend of mine. There's somebody I see once a week. And I.
What was your answer? I'm curious to know how you answered it.
Well, it's funny because I'm Jewish and they're Jewish. And I said, well, he does a lot of things that I like. And I follow him because he put the embassy in Jerusalem, and I named two or three other things, you know, the economy, da da da. And then they just stop and they look at me and they're like, okay, because they have no retort for that.
Yeah, they've stopped arguing in some respects, haven't they? They've stopped arguing. This is what Joe Scarborough has done. This is what this op-ed writer has done. They've stopped making arguments because it's very hard to argue with. I mean, what? I don't even know how you argue with the success we claim he has engaged in. I mean, they simply would have to go into arguments on first principles. They don't believe in lower taxes. They don't believe in what he's doing with the courts, right? They'd have to go into that sort of thing, I suppose.
Right. And make one more comment.
Sure.
Look at Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
What does she do? In one hand, she's handing over articles of impeachment. And with the other hand, behind closed doors, she's handing him, because it's her job, the invitation to do his State of the Union.
Right.
Because she knows it has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he's so corrupt and this is so awful, why didn't they postpone that?
Right. It's a very good point. She was asked about that today. Boy, did she have a terrible answer. She said, well, I would suggest that he submit it in writing, like presidents used to do, which they haven't done in our lifetime. Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe you have to go back to what Johnson for that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I am glad to be a Republican because I know what I believe when I wake up and I know what I believe when I go to sleep. And I just don't think they do at all. I mean, I think they know what their leftist positions are. But I don't think they have a consistent argument when it comes to anything about breaking the law, about what constitutes a high crime and misdemeanor, about whether Trump is in the pocket of Putin or whether he's in Russia or in the pocket of Russia's sworn enemy, Ukraine. I mean, they just jump from lily pad to lily pad like sick frogs.
Yeah. Well, they just said that about McConnell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're not doing it the way he wants. He must. It's disgusting.
Now they're calling him Moscow Mitch.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah,
when you weren't whatever. Supposed to question someone's patriotism? Again, another hypocritical inconsistency. It's a failing party. It's a failing party. I hope it continues to fail. They deserve it. I'm Seth, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. This cold and flu season, wouldn't you like to be doubling up on your fruits and vegetables? How about, I don't even know how to say it, tenning up, getting tens of thousands of vital nutrients from getting 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables? That's what you get with the daily dose of Balance of Nature. Powerful stuff. On the fruit side, everything from apples to oranges, everything from papayas to raspberries and strawberries. On the vegetable side, everything from broccoli to spinach to zucchini, garlic, cabbage. It's all powdered by an advanced vacuum cold process to stabilize the maximum nutrient content. There's no heat or air dry processing. Capsules are all vegetarian. If you don't like taking capsules, you can open them up easily and sprinkle them in a drink or on food. Once you start taking Balance of Nature, you'll feel great, as I've been. People even report their skin looks better, and they get a lot more energy. Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of their fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com. And use discount code BALANCE. I take them every day. I said something in the last hour. When I said it, I wasn't sure of myself. And so I want to backtrack on it and fix it. I was texting with a friend here who said she was a never Trumper. And, or at least went from never Trump to being a Trumpster. Full-on deplorable and proud of it, she wrote me. Wonder how many of you are out there. I would love to hear from you. 602-508-0960. What I said in the last hour, I'll try and do it and fix it. I said in the last hour that I think when people like Joe Scarborough condemn you all the way he did today on his show, and your children and your grandchildren, by the way. He did. We can play the audio again if you want. But when he does that, 63 million some odd people voted for Trump. And I went on to say, I think of that 63 million who voted for Donald Trump, I think those numbers have increased. I think he is more popular now than he was in November of 2016. And I said, and this is what I wasn't sure of when I said it, and I think I'm wrong. I said there's no real great way to measure that. I think I'm wrong about that. I think he has more supporters now than he has then, and I think there is a way to measure it. And the way to measure it would be this way. In late October, the last week of October, first week of November of 2016, Real Clear Politics, which does the averaging of polls for favorability and unfavorability ratings, right before the election, Donald Trump had an average favorability rating of 37.5%. And an unfavorable rating of 59%. His latest favorable unfavorable on the Real Clear Politics average is a favorable rating of 43.3%. So a 6 point or a 6 percentage increase, 6 point increase. And his unfavorables have dropped by about the same percentage as well. So I think you can measure it that way. And by measuring it that way, my first statement, I'll stand by, is correct. I think he is more popular now than he was when he was elected. I think those who have supported him in 2016, I don't know anyone who regrets that support. I'll take that call too if you do. But I'm more interested in hearing from those who didn't support him who now do, of which I think there are a great number. A great number. I think he has pleasantly surprised a lot of people. I know an awful lot of people who were not never Trumpers, but said they kind of held their nose when they voted for him and have been pleasantly surprised and won't hold their nose again. I know a lot of those. But if you went from no way to now you're in favor, now you're a Trumpster, I'd like you to call and tell me why. I really can't imagine what the case would be for someone who supported him who now doesn't. Although if you exist, I'd like to hear from you too. 602-508-0960. Why am I raising this? Why now am I asking about this or talking about this? And it's really just a combination of things I'm seeing in the mass media in trying to elevate the amount of angst and anger at Donald Trump. When Joe Scarborough says, do you want to play Joe Scarborough again so people can know what I'm talking about? Play what Joe Scarborough said this morning.
We don't know how this ends in the Senate. These shameless Trumpsters will remain shameless Trumpsters. But we do know how the story ends. We do know how history writes this. We know that everyone who defends Donald Trump right now will be exposed. We know Mike Pence will be exposed for what he is. We know that Barr will be exposed for what he is. We know that all of these characters, Rudy Giuliani, will be exposed for what he is. The history, it will be bleak, and their families, their children, their grandchildren, everyone who has their last name will carry that around with them if they decide to continue lying for a failed reality TV host who will show them no loyalty.
That's fine. That's just incredible to me. First of all, failed reality TV host. It's just, you know, he's not telling the truth. It's not true. He was a successful reality TV host on Joe Scarborough's network, by the way. History will be bleak. We know how this story ends. We do know how history writes this. It's this kind of heightened, extreme rhetoric that stops making an argument and starts appealing to history. Or what did, how did Nancy Pelosi put it? The time, this is a very important day. One referenced temporal markers that our founders and our poets and others have used over time. She misuses the word temporal. Temporal doesn't mean time. Temporal means worldly as opposed to spiritual. Means secular. She can't even get that right. All right, 602-508-0960. They've just stopped making arguments. They've just gone into full-on rhetorical assault and insult. I'm Seth. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. I'm asking to hear from listeners and callers, or listeners who should be callers, to that number, 602-508-0960. If you are anti-Trump and have moved pro-Trump, or if you held your nose and have been pleasantly surprised, my thesis is that his support has grown both from those who supported him and those who did not support him, who are somewhat independent or conservative. Peter is in Surprise. Welcome to the show, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good.
Talk to me.
Oh, I've never really followed Trump, you know, when he was a celebrity. Didn't really like his personality. But then when he first started running and the media was twisting all of his comments about Mexicans,
yeah,
that really got me to dislike him. And then one day I listened to an entire speech, and then that started digging me into looking into other things. And I went from anything but Hillary
yeah,
to I voted for Trump just because it wasn't Hillary.
Yeah.
And now I'm a hardcore.
Were you, ask, Peter, had you voted Democrat before, or had you been a Republican who just didn't like Trump?
I've never really been political.
Okay.
I only voted for the lesser of two evils.
I gotcha.
And I didn't vote 2008 and 2012 at all.
Okay.
I just didn't like either side.
So Trump kind of not only got you, but he got you to be political. You know, it's an interesting thing. And part of it, if I'm hearing you right, Peter, part of it was inspired or catalyzed by you realizing that the media was just lying about him. You didn't like the media lies, which is an interesting thing that we're watching more and more of. It's when the media all gangs up against one thing or turns out to be lying or dissembling that turns people out. There's a big separation here and a big division. I don't want the comparison to be in any way on the same moral plane. But notice what inspired the protests in the streets of Iran earlier this week. It was when the Iranian government admitted that they were lying about shooting down the Ukrainian airliner, right? It's once someone discovers a lie that they've been lied to that they get animated. Quite often, that's just part of human nature. It's kind of interesting.
Correct. And I'm very stubborn, and I'm very not politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that just made me like
Made you like it all the better. Yeah, because you know what he did? You know, a lot of us, I think, a lot of us, maybe all of us, have hated this regime of political correctness we've kind of been forced to live under without our vote. You know, we've just, whether it's in school or work or, you know, at the cash register, we've been forced to live by a political correctness we don't like. And we've kind of been cowed. Scared, frightened into having to live by those rules. And Donald Trump kind of comes along and says, you don't have to live by them, and there's no cost. I think
Correct.
We kind of admired that. Now, he's in a powerful position. There, of course, still is a cost if you work for a company. I mean, you can't flout the HR regulations and stuff. But he started to chip away at this thing that I think was a veil over us that we just hated. It was like a cloud over our sun that we just hated. I think that's just a supposition I have.
Correct. And like being a Trump supporter, I don't list on social media where I work because I know I can't.
I know. By the way, do you think any Democrat has ever had to say that? I don't.
No.
Yeah.
I also,
isn't that a double standard?
Yeah, I do. I do maintenance for a apartment management
uh-huh.
company.
Yep.
So that's the reason why I have to hide a lot of my comments.
No, I get it.
I get it.
And it's unfortunate we have to hide our bushel, our political. But I don't think any liberal or Democrat has ever felt that way, that they had to.
Correct. And I also do handyman stuff on the side. And I've had two people vent to me, assuming because of my race.
I'm
going to be a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
And they just bash Republicans for 2 or 3 days while I'm working for them.
Are you a racial minority?
Yes, I'm I'm Mexican, or I consider myself Chicano.
I see.
American of Mexican descent.
So they just assume you're a Democrat.
Yes, and
Let them keep assuming. I mean, you know, that is discrimination. That is called prejudice, prejudging someone. That's prejudice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when they find out that I am a Republican, twice now, I've had them just pay me on the spot and say they no longer need me.
Yeah. Well, I could use you, Peter. Send me an email. Honestly.
All right.
Yeah. I'll cover for them. I got some work to be done. God bless you, sir. Right. Thanks for your call.
All right, thank you.
All right, and I mean it. Send me an email. I'm Seth. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Were you ambivalent about Trump in 2016 or opposed to him and have come to be a supporter of his? This is my thesis, is that his supporters have grown stronger and more fervent, and those who didn't like him more have moved towards him than away from him. I'd love to hear from you, 602-508-0960. Bradley.
So I fall into the crowd of being a little ambivalent for him at first and being very much a supporter of him now. At the time, I was putting my hat in the ring of Rand Paul. Uh-huh. I'm a former Ron Paul supporter.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of tells you where my frame of mind is.
A little more libertarian, yeah.
And at the time, I do admit when Donald Trump was putting his name in, I thought it was a farce a little bit. I didn't really take it very seriously. And the more he talked, the more I would, I guess, listen a little bit stronger. You know, his opinions I've heard his opinions through the years, but never really paid much attention.
Right.
And then it came down to him and Hillary, and I put my name in on the ballot for Trump because there was no way I would ever have voted for Hillary.
Right.
Party rarely means very much to me, so much as what I feel the person can truly accomplish for the country.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
Not too long after Trump was elected, I believe it was in the British Parliament, somebody made a comment saying that Trump was the first politician in history to make good on all of his campaign promises.
Okay.
And so my support for him and my appreciation for what he was doing just grew and grew. And something that I've noticed, I wanted to call yesterday, but I didn't get the time because it was towards the end and I didn't want to rush it. But
sure.
You were making, I think, something to the effect of, I can't even remember, but my comment was going to be people put too much emotion when they're discussing these things and when they're voting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes emotion, I agree, we're a human being who is run by our emotions, but this whole, I get so tongue-tied because it just gets so frustrating. People don't think with any kind of logic, any sense of logic.
It's very hard. I know what you're saying, and it is hard to describe. But anyone who's had a conversation with an anti-Republican leftist knows what you're talking about. The screaming, the unbelievable moral indignation they have for you, the sense of how can you possibly believe what you believe, right? This is what you're talking about.
Exactly. And in all honesty, I really do feel that many of those people who are on that side really have no belief system of any kind. I do not consider myself somebody who is devout of any religion. However, I was raised with moral character, mm-hmm. moral fiber.
Sure.
And that is where I put my beliefs. And I do feel like the left, they have no moral anything. Their moral compass is beyond broke. And
which isn't to say they don't have viewpoints. They have political viewpoints. It just doesn't come with a moral basis. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say that's correct.
Yeah, because we know what they stand for. I mean, right? We know where they are on, you know, taxes, social policy. Right. We know what they stand for. And when we talk to them about those things, we tend to talk to them in about the same tone you and I are talking right now, or try to. It's never the tone they talk to us with, ever, ever.
Well, and it's often, and I've seen it at where I work, it resorts to name calling.
Yes, it does.
Because they
of course it does.
They have nothing else to back what they're saying. They can't have a logical conversation. However, I have noticed And I think it's kind of along the same lines as what your last caller was talking about and what you were talking about. With Trump, he's kind of showed us that we can stand up again for what we believe
yes.
in, no matter what.
Yes, he is. He has broken through a certain sound barrier, literally a certain kind of political sound barrier.
And it, also, along with your last caller, just because my hair is past my shoulders, that apparently means that I am somebody people consider
I love it. I love it. I love it. There's this really strongly followed, highly followed person on social media. Someone in the audience, or more, many in the audience may know. I'm blanking on what he goes by, but he's a big Trump supporter, and he goes around cleaning up areas where leftists hold protests to make America beautiful again, or something like that. He's a huge Trump supporter. Looks like a total hippie, and it's great. It's just great.
Right.
Yeah. But Bradley, there's something. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's just so frustrating that that is even something that needs to be brought up.
I know. We're supposed to have an emphasis on individuality, right? Individuality, sovereignty, thinking for yourself, independent thinking, diversity. Right. It's that, like that Monty Python, think for yourself. Think for yourself, right? But Bradley, one of the things, and I don't know how exactly to communicate this, but you made me think of it. When we run into these kinds of leftists that we're talking about, the ones that take things to such emotional levels that they end up yelling or, libeling, slandering, do they not appreciate, and I guess they don't, but it's odd to me, do they not appreciate that, they have millions of people who believe what they do, but do they not appreciate that there are millions of people that don't? And is it at all possible, do they ever stop and think, is it at all possible that all those millions aren't crazy or may have a rationally thought out set of reasons for thinking the way they do, or, voted for Ronald Reagan, voted for, whoever the Republican is? Do they ever stop and just think for a moment that maybe they're not right? Maybe. And they don't. And it's odd to me.
To a question like that, I'm in a very different position in my professional. But, like I said, not a big fan of Trump. I very much am now. I appreciate everything you do. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Bradley, and I appreciate you calling, and I'm sorry that I got your name wrong, but call again and we'll get it right, and that's my guarantee to you. Thanks, Bradley. 602-508-0960. Were you hesitant about Trump and now not so much? Give me a call. Let me know. Is this the best pop song of the last 40 years? Yeah, I think it is. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Nathan's in Phoenix. Hi, Nathan.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're very welcome. Listen, I had to call just because of the topic, because where I'm coming from is that the last election was the first time in my adult life that I didn't vote for either candidate.
Okay.
I found honestly both of them reprehensible. I thought they were both bad people.
Okay.
That's the way I felt.
Sure. Quick question. Did you typically vote Republican or Democrat before that, or kind of mixed, or?
Consider myself an independent, but I tend to lean more conservative.
Okay. Good. Fair enough. Go ahead.
But the thing is, once I got to this point, what's really making me lean strongly for Trump this time is, one, what he's done for the economy. I don't think anybody can effectively argue that he hasn't had a tremendous impact on the economy. I mean, it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, more than anything, I'm just so offended by the way the guy's been persecuted.
Isn't that interesting? I'm hearing more and more of that. And you heard the caller earlier, right, who said he didn't even mm-hmm. get involved until he started realizing how much the media bias was, how bad the media bias was. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so aggravating that I feel like my vote is as much a vote
a strike
for
fairness. Yeah, a strike for fairness.
That's exactly
right. Yeah,
right. It's like a sharp stick in the eye to all the people that have tried to manipulate this process. It just makes me angry when I see it. And it's all the major news networks. Honestly, it's the school system, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing to see what's going on.
Oh, no, they've marched through all these institutions. Let's get some bumper stickers going. Annoy the media, vote Trump.
I'll wear the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to chime in. I really appreciate what
Thank
you do.
Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate it very much. That was that's an interesting. I'm noticing more and more of that. People just don't like the media bias against Donald Trump. If nothing else, if Trump did nothing else, all his levels of all these items of accomplishment on the Tilt Board, if he did nothing else but expose the media and put it on the course of ultimate extinction as we knew it, that would be enough. That would be enough. Ken, Marianne, Nick, coming to you next. 602-508-0960. There's room for more. We'll be right back.